If you believe, assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Well, hello, everyone. This is your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. I'm going to speak today a little bit about this whole Harry Reid Sharon Angle thing. Now, why would I do that? Well, it's because Harry Reid purports to be pro-gun, when in fact he is not. He's just not as vehemently anti-gun as everyone else. Now, I have to admit that Harry Reid owns guns. However, what does he ever do with them? Other than talk about that he owns them. I don't know he does anything. It's like, owning a tent and owning a camp stove and say, hey, man, I'm an outdoorsman. I own a tent and a camp stove. But if they just sit in your closet collecting dust, it really doesn't do much. So I would imagine that's precisely what we've got going here. Harry Reid was instrumental in getting the land swap with the BLM to get the Clark County Shooting Park, of which we talked about on this show many months ago, and it was even on national news and the USA Today, I believe, all this other garbage. Oh, yeah, Harry Reid standing right out front. He did it. He brought it to Nevada. Yeah, okay. Well, I actually had a guy that knows a family member of mine say that he was interested in getting onto the show. And this guy, he's a Clark County, Nevada Democrat. And he's part of some party affiliation, some group that is put together with a bunch of Nevada leftist Democrats that call themselves some sort of outdoor pro-Second Amendment hunting and shooting group of Democrats. And member number one is who? Harry Reid, right? Member number two or three, something like that, is one of the other leftist Democrat Congress, Shelley Berkeley. And this guy wants to come onto the show, and he wants to talk about all the Second Amendment stuff, all the great pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment stuff by all these total leftist Democrats. Well, my response is this. First of all, how often do these people go out and shoot? When is their meetings? Can non-Democrats join? Or is this just, as it appears, an organization, a group that's on face? It's just, it has a website that exists, and they can talk about the website that exists, but there's not actually a group of people that get together, have a clubhouse, go out and go shooting, do any outdoorsy stuff, ever go on organized hunts, anything like that. I mean, what is it really? And on top of that, here's another big question. All right, and that question is this. Why should I entertain anybody who is involved in a group that will stand there and say, hey, you know, I support one right, but I'm not necessarily behind any of the other rights at all? You guys know me. You listen to the show. Some of you are newer listeners. I talk about all of the rights that are out there, especially when they start getting violated and what we need to do about it. It centers around the Second Amendment. Because as long as we have guns, at least we have the physical ability to go out there and protect the rest. Not that we really do very much. We should. And I will encourage everyone to do that. Because rights are being eroded. Only men with guns on the ground will stop that. Stay tuned. There's more to come.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. So here's one of the issues that we've got here is the NRA has very powerful endorsements for different politicians running for office or political hopefuls. Now, the last couple of years, you've seen the NRA back behind and stand right there with Harry Reid. You've got Wayne LaPierre standing there, shaking Harry Reid's hand, arm around him, embraced in some, you know, sort of political, you know, photo opportunity, because Harry Reid stood up and done something positive for guns, as it would seem. So now what you've got is it's time for Harry Reid to get endorsed. What do you think he's doing? He's probably playing a lot of hardball, probably cashing in all of those political chips to get the NRA endorsement. When he's running against Sharon Angle, Tea Party candidate, Tea Party endorsed candidate, I should say, who's very strong on all of the rights, not just the Second Amendment. So here's a little article by a lady by the name of Margaret Carlson. She says, some choices look easy. Between Nevada Republican Sharon Angle, an ardent believer in the constitutional right to bear arms anywhere from a national park to a corner bar, and one of Washington's most powerful Democrats, who would the National Rifle Association choose? If you said Angle, that's the easy choice, and probably the wrong one. The NRA's political arm has yet to make an endorsement, but gun owners around the U.S. are worried, with evident reason, that the group may be prepared to forsake Angle for her Democratic opponent, Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. Angle's devotion to gun rights is unquestioned. In one interview, she coyly wouldn't say whether she was carrying a concealed weapon because she didn't want the bad guys to know. When government becomes tyrannical, she has said, it's the citizenry's right to lock and load. Now, she's absolutely right. And she fretted, the people are really looking towards those Second Amendment remedies and saying, my goodness, what can we do to turn this country around? I'll tell you, the first thing we need to do is take Harry Reid out. She later acknowledged that comment might have been a little strong and that, lest the trigger-happy among her supporters misunderstood her, she meant take him out of office. Well, duh. Like, that really needs clarification. Reid occasionally flirts with the NRA, as a Western Democrat must, but mostly breaks its heart. He helped secure land and funding for 2,900-acre park for shooting, and Gamely took down Clay Birch with his 12-gauge shotgun at the opening in March. He worked to keep insurance premiums from being raised on those who keep a gun at home and supported a carve-out exemption for the NRA from a new campaign donation disclosure requirements. The gun owner's bill of particulars against Reid is longer. He supported the confirmation of Attorney General Eric Holder, who strongly favors gun limits. He is currently pushing the confirmation of Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court, a vote for the NRA, a vote the NRA is going to score. But that should bring Reid's rating, even grading on a curve, to a gentleman's C from the B he received last time he ran in 2004. The gun owners of America, by contrast, give Reid's an F. So why is the NRA on such a different page? While his headquarters may be in Fairfax, Virginia, NRA Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre is part of the Washington firmament. And like the Christian coalition before it, LaPierre's NRA is forgetting the faithful, who, online, are up in arms about a possible Reid endorsement. LaPierre has a lot to crow about. The NRA just won a ruling from the Supreme Court that cites states are bound by the Second Amendment. What did the rank and file of those weekend Minutemen or militiamen or patriots in camouflage have to do with that? At the core, LaPierre has more in common with the hectic Reid than a sweet believer like Angle. I'm sorry, than a sweaty believer like Angle. How did I misread that? She's proven to be a strong brew, even by Tea Party standards. Before Republicans muffled her, she was for gradually privatizing Social Security, defunding the new healthcare system, abolishing the income tax code, and massively cutting the federal government, including eliminating the Energy Department and the Environmental Protection Agency, which probably are too busy trying to clean up the Gulf of Mexico to pay much attention to Nevada politics. Even right-wing voters in Nevada must gulp at her desire to make Yucca Mountain home to the country's nuclear waste. Not necessarily. Actually, let me address that. Someone from Nevada who lives about as the crow flies 55, 60 miles from Yucca Mountain. I say open it. And I say put all of the nuclear waste containers with all of the spent fuel rods in there and bury them. It's geologically pretty damn stable. There's fault line. Guys, you can't find anywhere that's completely stable on Earth. It just doesn't exist. Yucca Mountain is pretty damn stable. And on top of that, the state of Nevada can charge astronomical fees. Not that they need to. But this could be a very big profit center for the state of Nevada. Very big. On top of all the jobs that are there. Now, I'm not a big fan of spent fuel rods coming by rail. My thought on the deal is actually to fly them in, put 130s and put a big, airstrip up there. Because those 130s and airstrips and flying these things are statistically far safer than any other mode of travel. Fly these things in, put them there, blah, blah, blah. And, the flip side is that there's got to be some sort of a chemical related, some scientist somewhere can figure out the right way to cool and deactivate these fuel rods in the first place. So it's just a matter of time until science finds an issue with these and able to fix them. But I am not absolutely against Yucca Mountain. In fact, I shouldn't say I'm staunchly for it by any means, but I don't have a problem with it. And it is a way where Nevada can bring some money in here and lower our taxes even more, which would be nice. Lower taxes, down to zero taxes, are a great idea. Now, asked if she'd permit abortion in the case of a teenager raped by her father, Engel said no. Two wrongs don't make a right. Blah, blah, blah. I want to talk more about rights here. This article's really gone off on a tangent, so we'll leave it at that. So here's what we've got, guys. We've got a lady, Sharon Engel, who won the Republican primary based on being highly conservative. Now, because she's running on the Republican ticket, her ideals do not match that of the Republican Party. But you're not going to win under any other party banner. You're not going to win under the Constitution banner. You're not going to win under the Libertarian banner. You're not going to win under the Independent American banner. You're going to win under the Republican banner. And rather than the Republicans hijacking the Tea Party and other conservatives, the Tea Party and the other conservatives need to hijack the Republican Party and bring it back to where it's supposed to be. That's what needs to go down. I'm not a fan of the Republican Party. I am a member of the Republican Party, but that's solely because in this state you cannot vote in the primary for anybody other than who's in your party. Now, when it comes to the general election, I can vote for whoever I want, and I shall. I really don't care what their party affiliation is, as long as they're highly conservative in their beliefs, in their statements, and in their actions. Now, Sharon Engel does not have a long, strung-out political career, and now she's trying to get into the U.S. Senate. No, she's had a very, very limited political career, and she's trying to get into the U.S. Senate and unseat the most powerful senator there is. And I applaud her for that. It's my belief that every single person, bar maybe one or two people, who's up for election this year needs to be replaced by someone new. And that new person should not be a career politician, that going to Washington is just the next step in a long road of political career. Because they're already part of the system. They're just moving on. It's like moving up the chain at some corporate office. I am not a fan. What I am a fan of is relative political newcomers who have very strong principled ideals that believe in the Constitution of the United States and those who wrote it, and will not pass legislation unless it passes constitutional muster. Those are the people we should be putting into office in Washington, D.C., where it's most needed. Washington, D.C. and the federal government are not supposed to affect directly the lives of the people in this country. Unfortunately, they do. And they do all too often, which is usurped their constitutional authority. And we need to get that back. We need to get them out of our lives and leave it with the states, which is something we can control easily. The feds, much more difficult. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Calling to chime in, we have Mike from Kentucky on line one. Mike, welcome to 2A Radio.
Yeah, I grew up about four air miles from a controversial leaking nuclear waste dump. It's supposed to be low-level nuclear waste leaking for about 35 years.
Let me ask you something, Mike. Is there such a thing as low-level nuclear waste?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, we could get into that on some of the public relations spin that they put on this facility for years, like the idea that the tritium that they evaporated out of it was actually going to help your immune system to fight off cancer. What a bunch of malarkey. But
nice.
I've been paying attention a little bit for the last few decades about these issues, before Al Gore invented the internet, I saw a report on CNN. I was a little bit of a news junkie back in the late 80s, and they did their programming in 4-hour cycles. If you watched for more than 4 hours, you'd start to see stuff repeat itself.
I got to see the
report more than once, but I never was able to find any information about it. This guy, came up with a technique for breaking those fuel rods and just about any other nuclear waste into manageable chunks and injecting it into the waste plasma slag from steel mills. And he created it the temperatures were so hot that it caused the fuel to bond and break down inside that slag and create this inert ingot. That was, a 2-foot by 3-foot cube or something.
Hey, sounds like we could build some new, maybe use those 2-foot by 3-foot ingots if they're solid enough and we can bond them together somehow and put them down on the southern border and build a much better mousetrap. Hello? Well, Mike, I hope you can call back. It sounds like the line dropped, but I'm thinking.
Talking about stuff that's classified, probably.
Yeah,
am I still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What I was saying was, if you can get these 2 to 3 foot ingots of this stuff, we could ship those down to the southern border and build a better wall.
Well, I'd say that the National Security Council grabbed that guy and hushed him up and, to suppress his technology because they don't want nuclear, proliferation. Just like in Iran, they're trying to shut down this, Bushehr reactor effort that they've got going. Thing I can't understand about Iran is why in all these decades they haven't built their own refineries. or so they won't be embargoed like this with the with gasoline products and jet fuel being, you know, shut down access to. It doesn't make any sense, you know, that they wouldn't have already built their own refinery by now. So they've had, you know, either that, they must have had some kind of ridiculous chokehold on Iran for all these decades to prevent them from building their own refineries is a control thing. But
Wait. Do you mean the United States? Are you accusing the United States of potentially getting into, you know, nation building, or if they can't build a specific nation, trying to subvert the efforts of that own country from doing what they want to?
Well, I think the United States is, itself is being controlled by the
anybody by, with money.
Well, most, yeah, but there's so much money that people don't even make the Forbes 500 list, you know? I mean, it's just kind of people that are shrewd enough to keep themselves off the Forbes 500 list.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't know that there's anything left in this country which is actually honest, which is actually forthright, which is actually done for the good of the people, which is exactly what the government is. The government is supposed to be there to protect our liberties and negotiate with foreign countries and regulate interstate commerce. That's essentially what the federal government is there for. But to see all the other garbage that they get into and how nothing... nothing seems to get done other than the what is in the interest of the federal government by the people that handle the money and are the handlers of those people is one of those things just despicable about this country. One of the reasons why the topic of today is what it is.
The multinational corporations that the government is a puppet of, like the BP stuff that's going on right now, basically. I don't think it's anything new. But this particular technology, I mean, I guess I was a little bit of a nerd. I was looking at, Discovery Magazine, Omni, Popular Science, Popular Mechanics and all these. You always see these promising technologies.
Yes.
That you never hear anything more about. And this nuclear waste, issue that you kind of brought up as a tangent. It's kind of a pet peeve topic of mine because of this nuclear waste dump that's out here that has to be monitored in perpetuity. And, you know, the funny thing is that the only thing they did, Homeland Security decided that, well, yeah, there's some dangerous stuff out there that we don't want anybody to make a dirty bomb with. So to enhance the security of the place, they took the signs down at the entrance. That's all they did.
Lovely. Mike, thanks so much for the call, man. I appreciate it. We're headed into break.
Thanks.
Thanks for your insight. I appreciate it. Yet again, not any secret at all that there has been some sort of technology which is better for we, the people of this country, and this nuclear waste that somebody came up with. And, of course, the government having some sort of oversight and control, some sort of regulation on it, is not working because they have ulterior motives, whatever they may be. Just goes to show you guys, we need to deregulate one industry and one industry only, the government industry. Stay tuned, there's more to come after the break. We'll be right back.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back. Now, earlier we were talking about Harry Reid and the NRA endorsers. Now, it's my belief, it's my secure supreme belief that since Harry Reid got a B rating, B as in above average, from the NRA back in 2004 when he was running for re-election, that now, 6 years later, what he's been doing since then is planning and scheming with all of his politics to get the NRA endorsement this year. Now, why would he have put this on for the last 6 years? Well, because he knew what was coming. Harry Reid is deep enough in this country. He is deep and entrenched enough to know that Obama was coming, how the system was going to work, and what we were in for. And he's looking to get that NRA endorsement for those single-issue voters. Calling to chime in on this topic, out of the great state of Georgia, we have Lee calling in on line three. Lee, welcome to 2A Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Carnes. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everything down in the Georgia Peach State?
Hot and muggy.
Yeah, well, we're just hot with we're hot without the muggy, man. I got to tell you, we've had like 15, 20, something like that, straight days of at least 103 temperatures, many of them up around 110 or 101.
Well, when it, you know, I mean, it's not too bad. We've had, like, over the past week, we've had, like, massive amounts of rain, but the problem is it cools it off, which is all fine, but then the next day temperature goes through the roof and the humidity just about cuts you in half.
You know, I've heard it said that the difference between the Nevada heat and the heat, say, what you're presently experiencing is that it's a dry heat. It doesn't really matter because, you know, if you're going to get cooked in boiling water or cooked in an oven, you're still getting cooked.
Exactly. There's no difference.
Anyhow, carry on. What's on your mind today, Lee?
Okay, I'm not the smartest character in the world. I tell people all the time, I am a dumb Georgia redneck, so I'm not the smartest guy in the world. But
you're my kind of guy.
I'm a bit confused here. Two things caught my attention in this discussion, and the first one was, if I remember correctly, Mr. Reed has been a very strong supporter of virtually every single piece of gun legislation that's ever been brought out to tighten the government's hold on the ability to control firearms.
Now, this is what I will tell you. Harry Reid has not supported specific anti-gun legislation, but what he has done is he supported other legislations that will offer further restrictions from the outside. So when legislation goes straight to the heart of guns, he's not been the biggest supporter of that. But when it tries to go from the outside and outflank your gun rights, that's what he does, as well as these all the different appointees on the Supreme Court or within the administration or anything like that. Anybody who is anti-gun, he supports them as well. So it's a very, very crafty system that he's got. And he also likes to try to fund anti-gun groups. If there's any way to get a sort of funding to them, as opposed to any of the pro-gun groups, you know, he's not going to be supporting any funding along that line. But
okay, so something like the small arms treaty, the UN small arms treaty, he'd be all over that.
You know, I would imagine that he probably would. But the thing is a lot of people are so scared by that UN small arms treaty. It really, you don't need to be scared of. First of all, there's nothing we can do at this point in time. It has to do with the UN, and our ambassador to the UN is certainly not going to veto it. So from there, then it comes in, then it would have to go through any sort of Senate approval. And I've got to tell you that one of the things that really bothers me is the NAFTA treaty that came in during the Clinton administration has never been brought up for a vote. And that's another anti-gun piece of legislation. But realize that the best that any sort of UN chartered resolution, which this anti-gun thing would be, the most it can affect is business. The most it can affect is businesses, which would have a small trickle-down effect to us. But no sort of treaty whatsoever can usurp the authority of the Constitution of the United States or the inalienable rights guaranteed within it. So I need people to understand that.
Well, that clarifies that, because I was a little bit confused on that. Because like I said, I'm not the brightest bulb in the package, okay? But the one thing that really got me was...
You're not the brightest knife in the drawer?
...the NRA endorsement. Did not the NRA... I mean, in my opinion, it's a complete flip. Did they not support some kind of legislation here recently in exchange for exemption from it, if I remember correctly? Am I wrong on that?
No, it's the Disclosure Act. And what they wanted was... this is how they came out. Rather than fighting the Disclosure Act, they carved out their own little niche in the Disclosure Act by saying, look, we don't support any sort of legislation when it comes to this. What we do is we owe it to our 4 million members, who used to be 5 million members. We owe it to our 4 million members to continue to have a voice in Washington, and we don't apologize for that.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what they said. Is the 4 million members trump the other 296 million people in this country? But at this point in time, I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that legislation? It's gotten very bad press, but then again, so did Obamacare. And that ended up passing both houses. As of right now, Disclosure Act has passed just the House.
Well, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think that that was a smart move on the NRA's part? Because I think that might actually hurt them more than help them.
Well, I agree as well. It's like, do you really want to have that extra drink at the end of the night? And, you know, tonight's drink is not that big a deal, and tomorrow night's drink isn't that big a deal. But when you have many, many nights where you keep having that extra drink, eventually it's going to start trimming years off your life. And I really believe that the NRA's actions, what they did with this Disclosure Act, are really going to nip people in the butt. I've had discussions with a lot of people, especially via email, that have said the only reason they keep their NRA insurance is because the club that they belong to requires that you be a member of the NRA. Now, what I would, and that's, there's a shooting club here in Las Vegas that is the exact same deal. You have to be a member of the NRA to join because they are a big pro NRA group. And what you've got is you've got a bunch of the old codgers that run these different groups, these different shooting clubs. And they have been so staunchly supportive of the NRA, which the NRA did great up through and including into the 70s. In the 80s, there was a little bit of waning. The 90s, they really started compromising. And really, they're a big compromising division now. They've really learned this political game. And it's all up to compromise now in a lot of ways. So I guess my response to that is if you are a member of a club and you're not happy with any one provision, and that might be one of them, then my suggestion is you go to find out the rest of the club members that are not happy about this, and you all take it to the board of directors and say, we want to leave the NRA. We don't want this to be a provision any longer. We are the members. We have a consensus. We are over 50%. And here is our solution. Not just we want to drop the NRA, but here's our solution. And join Gun Owners of America or something like that. So that's the way I see it, man. That's my two cents. And I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer either.
Well, I appreciate your insight into that. It kind of helps me understand things a little bit better because I really wasn't too sure on what was going on there, but something just didn't smell right in the kitchen, you know what I mean?
And usually when that happens, it's because something is rotten. So you've got a good nose there, Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Carnes, and you have a wonderful day.
You do the same. All right, guys, we're going to go into an article that an anti-gunner and left-wing hypist wrote about Sharon Engel versus her guns and government views. And he says that those comments deserve condemnation. If you haven't heard him here, I'm going to read this totally anti-gun leftist story. It says, contrary to what is espoused by some, the Second Amendment was, listen to this, was not written to protect the rights of all individuals to carry guns. So that's the opening statement in this person's article. Obviously, we already know that everything else is going to be totally worthless because they're absolutely 100% wrong. If you read the writings of the Founding Fathers, the Second Amendment was written to protect individuals' rights to carry guns. This person is saying that's not the case. Let me read it again. Contrary to what is espoused by some, the Second Amendment was not written to protect the rights of all individuals to carry guns, which is totally false. Otherwise, during slave days, it would have meant African Americans could carry guns. Okay, so now we're dealing with somebody who's completely stupid because we all know anybody who's ever studied the Founders and the Federalist Papers knows that slaves were not considered people. They were considered property. Now, we were all living, breathing human beings, but in the eyes of the Founding Fathers, they were considered property. So they were not included in any of this paperwork, hence the 14th Amendment down the line. Now, he continues. The Republican candidate for U.S. Senate out of Nevada, Sharon Engel, is a dangerous person. She says that if the right wing does not get its way, it should resort to using the protections given by the Second Amendment, not given by the Second Amendment, guaranteed by the Second Amendment, to confront the government. What do you suppose would happen if a left-wing communist made the same statement? All right, well, let's look. Let's investigate that. What if Barack Obama said the same thing? What if a left-wing communist, Barack Obama, stood up and said, you know what, we need to have all these lefties have guns? He already has. And what he said is there needs to be citizen police forces that are responsible to the White House. Now, what is that? Guys, that is the SS out of Germany. What was the SS? It was the citizens police force that they gave authority to, and they said, hey, you guys who are a bunch of power-hungry wannabes, we're going to give you some actual power and some directives to go out there and do these things and collect up these people and take away guns and all this other crap they did over several years. So a left-wing communist, Barack Obama, has already made that statement. It just isn't carried by the news because they're locked in. This writer continues by saying, there was a day when such a person would have been considered a kook and locked up as anarchist. Really, there's also a day where Barack Obama would have been locked up by the McCarthy group and McCarthyism, looking into all the commies. As well, who's that scumbag that put together Fahrenheit 9/11? Michael Moore? Is that his name? That scumbag would have been locked up years ago. Harry Reid would have been locked up years ago. Nancy Pelosi would have been locked up years ago. Chuck Schumer would have been locked up years ago. Who's that other kooky woman senator from California? What's her name? She would have been locked up years ago. The thing is that all of those people that would have been locked up years ago are now in office. So it needs to be a revolution. You understand what revolution is? A movement is just that. It moves a certain distance, then it stops. A revolution keeps coming back around in your face. This writer continues, how can Miss Engel say these things, she's a Mrs., by the way, say that these things, and then proclaim her faith in some god? The god she worships is an evil, barbaric, hateful one who deserves no more attention than that we may wish to give a flea. Don't you dare curse my god, because my god is the same god as hers. Now, he continues by saying, what amazes me is the amount of attention the media give to her. Sarah Palin, too. Neither one is worth the time of day, but we see them plastered all over the news. Why not give more coverage to those who create new 3D scanning equipment, oil-catching devices, and renewable fuels made out of non-food products? This is written by some scumbag named Doug Cornwell. Well, Doug Cornwell, Cornswell, Corntwell, whatever. You haven't got the slightest clue what the hell you're talking about, so therefore you shouldn't write about it either, because all you do is make yourself look like such an idiot. Isn't that interesting how that goes? Is when the left opens their mouth, they make themselves such idiots. It's like, you know, it's like looking at a hot girl. I'm just going to put this in first person. It's like looking at a hot girl. I happen to know a girl who's beautiful. I mean, from head to toe. Just gorgeous to look at. And the moment she opens her mouth, she goes from a 9.5 or a 10. Literally. I mean, she's that pretty. She goes from a 9.5 or 10 to about a 6.5. Just because she never knows what she's talking about, especially when she starts talking about politics. It's like, wow, you lost so much hotness. Just please stop. Don't talk anymore. And, you know, that's just one case of one thing. The left just degrades themselves so much the way they talk, unless you've got someone else who's just as stupid as them, who's actually listening. And that is how we got into the political predicament that we're in today. These people want to take our guns away because that is the last waning hope that we've got. If the political system otherwise falls to its knees and we are made subjects as opposed to citizens, as long as we've got guns, we have the very last bastion of being able to rise up and take our system back. It's called tyranny. It's written in the Federalist Papers. It's written how these things happen. And when we see things happen, it's also written that it's our duty to stand up in arms and change them. So, Doug Cornwell, Cornhole, Cornswell, whatever your name is, you need to go back and read your history. Because, in fact, you're too stupid to speak. Stay tuned. More to come. Not nothing against you. Sure, I will see you. Display.
The American Dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea, right in the backyard of Chicago itself. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up today.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
Welcome back, everyone. So what we've got at here is we have got one of the worst people in American political history by the name of Harry Reid up for re-election, and was quite secure a year and a half ago when Obama took office because of all the leftist feeling. So let's change. We don't like what's going on with Bush, so we bring in Obama. Voted for a change, did you? Well, change is what you got, and it's not a good one. Economy's worse as it's ever been. Unemployment is the highest rate it's ever been. We are in the worst condition we've been in since the Great Depression. And of course, this doesn't all happen overnight. I mean, all of this happened in the last administration and even partly the administration prior to that. But mostly during the Bush administration is when a lot of this stuff started to happen. However, there's ways to handle these things. There's ways to slow this down. And by having the Federal Reserve print a whole bunch of money and throw money that you don't own at a problem and try to spend your way out of the hole, it doesn't work like that. You cannot spend your way out of a nationally created hole. It just doesn't work. So then we've got Harry Reid in charge of the Senate Majority Leader. Now, the last time we had a Democrat who was Senate Majority Leader, in the name of Tom Daschle got beat, and a Republican came in. I guess that was a minority. I think he was the minority leader at the time. Now you've got Harry Reid, who's the majority leader. And everybody in this entire country has a vested interest in Harry Reid being sent home. For the first time in his career since the 1960s to be out of a job. That is what needs to happen. I encourage everyone out there in Radio Land to buck up, and if you've got $5 or you've got more, donate it to the Sharon Angle for U.S. Senate campaign, because everybody in the entire country has a vested interest in seeing Harry Reid go down and lose this election and sit in his lofty shack out in, what is it? Searchlight, Nevada, right, like he's going to move back there. He'll sit in his hilltop mansion on the outskirts of Las Vegas is where he's going to be. But let's send him back there. Send him back to his rightfully deserved rocking chair. He's been in public service his entire adult life. Let's thank him and give him a nice retirement gift by sending him home and letting him stay there. You know he's going to end up as some sort of a lobbyist, but who cares? Just send him home. So everybody that's able to, please donate something to the Sharon Angle campaign so we can send Harry home. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for more great programming coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.